Question, what if we've got it all wrong and counting calories is not the way to lose weight? Well, according to economist writer Peter Wilson, it's not, and it's time to bury the world's most misleading measure. His article in The Economist's new 1843 magazine is called Death of the Calorie. He also writes about the birth. Did you know the word calorie comes from the Latin calor for heat and was originally used to measure the efficiency of steam engines? That in the late 1800s, the thinking was that food-deprived people needed more fuel, so high-caloric food was encouraged. Or that in 2016, a researcher discovered that back in 1967, sugar companies secretly funded Harvard studies blaming fat for obesity. So out went fat, and in came sugar and salt-infused low-calorie diet foods, and up went obesity rates. Writer Peter Wilson joins us from London. Peter, who knew?
Hi. Well, I certainly didn't know until I spent a lot of time researching this story. It was a big shock for me, too.
It's just wonderful. You have Italian physicians in the 1800s hanging themselves in weighing chairs so they could weigh themselves, then everything that came into them and everything that came out of them. We'll talk more about this, but we want to right up front say you are not concluding that what one eats is not related to weight gain or that overeating doesn't cause weight gain.
No, the problem is we are obsessed with the calorie. And health officials in America and elsewhere tell people that basically obesity is caused by a calorie imbalance. Count your calories, the calories in and the calories out in exercise, and you'll lose weight. You'll be okay. And it's just not true.
Right. Well, talk about some of the reasons why. I mean, start with the alarming misrepresentation of calories on packaging. You say processed frozen foods can miss the true caloric content by 70%.
The amazing thing is that these labels, either on a restaurant menu or on the side of a packet, are virtually never regulated. There are six different ways in America that a food manufacturer is permitted to calculate the calories in their product. And when researchers do tests, they find that in 7% of cases is the number on the packet within 10 calories of the real number. And in a fifth of cases, it's 100 calories out. That we're not making informed decisions.
Well, but you also rushed to point out a calorie is a real thing. I mean, you take us through the fascinating history of the study of it. Food was burned in labs to calculate the energy that's released. By the way, is that still how calories are determined? I mean, literally burned to see energy released?
Yes, that's the most accurate way. I spent some time while researching this story at King's College watching some food products that I bought here in London being burned in one of these, it's called a bomb calorimeter. And of course, the calorie readings on the packet were nowhere near accurate.
But even when a calorie is right, talk about some of the other reasons that we can't be too sort of addicted to calorie counting.
That is the thing that really stunned me, that not only are the numbers wrong, and not only are the databases wrong, but the whole idea that your weight loss is all about calories in minus calories out is just nonsense. The body is nothing like one of these little devices that I saw being used in a laboratory, that when food goes into a body, it's incredibly complex what happens. You know, the difference between sugar, the interaction of our genes, of our hormones like insulin, the bugs in our stomach.
Well, and for instance, the early researchers didn't care. You know, they just saw leafy greens, for instance, as something that didn't have a high caloric count, which people might have needed who didn't have a lot of food. So they'd recommend something, you know, fatty over spinach, for instance, back then, because they weren't thinking that way. And you mentioned genes. Just recently, a certain gene was found to be more often in fat people than skinny ones. You remind us some people have intestines that are 50% longer than others, and the shorter ones absorb fewer calories. It takes people from 8 to 80 hours for food to move through them. We're all different. And so, you know, calories are absorbed while they're sitting there waiting for 80 hours to, you know, come out the other end. And you know, sleep, for instance, is a factor.
Exactly. And if you haven't rested enough, you are likely to take on more calories from the exact same food that somebody else would eat. And with a good night's sleep, they won't create the same fat. Weight management, what we're talking about is fat creation. How well you chew your food has an impact. The time of day that you eat has an impact. There are just so many factors in our behaviour that it just becomes silly to count calories and say, oh, well, because I've only eaten 2,500 calories today, that is fine. Or to say this chocolate muffin only has 200 calories, so it's going to be better for my weight control than this healthy sandwich because it's an extra 10 calories.
Can we talk about why that is? Because you, for instance, give the description of a soda, which sends a shot of energy, 30 calories a minute, takes it in quickly. And let's say potatoes or rice might take 2 calories a minute, you know, to process. But all calories trigger insulin, which help break down the food that we've eaten. So tell us why it matters if you eat something that's high in sugar or that's, you know, maybe takes longer to process.
The whole calorie system is based on the simple mathematical approach that energy in minus energy out, and that any calorie that goes into the body is the same as any other calorie. And that is just nonsense because all those different types of food have different effects within the body. The amount of sugar that is in a food will affect the insulin response. And this is, you know, probably one of the reasons that diabetes is exploding around the world, because we ignore the sugar content. To have 100 calories of sugar versus 100 calories of protein is very different. Even 100 calories of fat is very different. So the insulin that a big hit of sugar triggers within the body to rush into the blood supply and try and get that glucose, that blood sugar, out of the blood has a huge impact. It starts stacking that sugar into fat cells. Once the blood sugar level drops, you're left hungry. So you've not only got fatter, you've got hungrier, and you're more likely to go out and, you know, have another chocolate bar.
Make sure I've heard you right. A sudden hit of sugar, let's say that soda or that muffin, prompts a rapid release of insulin, which carries the sugar out of the bloodstream into the body's cells. But when there's too much sugar and it can't get it out fast enough, maybe it'll store some in the liver, but it will most likely stash it as fat. So you get this quick reaction, but then on the other side, you get fat and you get a drop in energy because it's been so quick and it's gone.
Yes, and it leaves you hungry. So less fat, body fat, is created the more slowly the nutrients are absorbed by the body. So one of the first things I did while I was researching this story, I changed my own behavior and I just lost a stack of weight. I've lost 28 pounds while working on this story.
Wow. Well, because you found other things as well that were fascinating. The way you cook food makes a difference, and also when you eat it. So for instance, pasta cooked one day but eaten leftover the next day is half the caloric intake.
That's right. And the staggering thing, Robin, is we're only just learning a lot of this now. It's only in the last couple of years that researchers have discovered if you take pasta or toast and let it cool and then reheat it and eat it, you will take on fewer calories.
What?
Because, well, the molecular structure of the compounds changes and it forms different sort of crystal type shapes. And it will then pass through your body more. Your body will take in fewer of those calories. We don't do nearly enough research on food, which is just amazing. You know, when you think how important it is to our quality of life, to public finances, you think about the health system, the amount of money that's spent on food-related problems, and nobody is really out there doing this basic research.
Some of your other findings, exercise, of course, has tremendous health benefits. But unless you're really high level, it plays a smaller part in weight control than most people think. As much as 75% of the average person's daily energy expenditure doesn't come from exercise, but just moving around. And with that in mind, drinking ice water forces the body to burn calories to maintain its preferred temperature.
Drinking ice water is the only thing you can do that actually means negative calories.
Yeah.
Because there are no calories in water. But by putting that cold product into your body will burn energy to return to its preferred temperature.
It sounds like, Peter Wilson, that you have become, like one of the people you profile, a calorie dissident. We know that Weight Watchers shifted its own whole program away from calories to a point system with this in mind. But isn't there still some value to people knowing what the calories or in things on their menu, even if they're off a bit, just to be reminded of what they're eating?
You're right. I mean, it's not that we should totally ignore calories, but the problem is what we do with calories. We pretend and we tell people that it's all about calories. It's just one of many factors. And by overstating it, we lead people to make the wrong choice. We miss the point, and we make people feel guilty and ashamed, when what we should be teaching people is to focus on the quality of what they eat. Don't eat as much processed food. Eat natural food. It's just a totally different way of thinking about food. Eat the way we're supposed to eat originally.
That's Peter Wilson. His article in The Economist's new 1843 magazine is Death of a Calorie. Peter, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.